Being here, fine Wednesday night crowd, so glad that you've come. It has been a delight to visit here, Morgan Hill, California. There was only one problem this meeting. My wife wasn't here. That's not your fault. That's ours. And by the grace of God, when we return, if Jesus hasn't come, I'm going to bring the little lady with me. Amen. Now, if Jesus comes, all my meetings are canceled. You're welcome to come, but I won't be here. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I have thoroughly enjoyed being with your pastor. He and his wife are great hosts, and it's just been a delight to come and see what God is doing. We had some folks saved in chapel today. Are you glad for people to get saved? And if you're not, I hope tonight will be your night. Tomorrow morning, you pray for your pastor. We are getting up before the chickens get up. And I've got to catch a flight and head back. My wife and I are doing a couples conference Friday and Saturday. Then we'll start another crusade on Sunday. And we move right along for one crusade right after the other. Pray for May. We'll be in Cuba. God's opened the door to get the gospel out in Cuba. So you pray for that time. You have your Bible tonight? We're going to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Go to me, please, to chapter number 2. If you do not have a Bible, no problem. Look to your left or right. Somebody has one, and you can see a copy of God's Word. If you have a Bible and somebody doesn't, let them look on with you, and we'll stand with the Word of God in our hands and read it tonight. Let's all stand together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except the coming falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already now work. Only he that now letteth or hinders will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should, they're forced to believe the lie. They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Tonight's Bible prophecy. Prophecy, history written in advance, a look at the future. There's one person that knows the future, that's Jesus Christ. There's one book that accurately predicts the future, that's the Bible. The pictures that you're about to see tonight as I paint them verbally have not yet taken place except in the mind of God. But as sure as there is a God, they will take place. Some good news tonight. If you've been born again, let's say that phrase, ready? Born again. It's a Bible term, John 3:3. If you've been born again, when Christ comes, you are having the opportunity to be taken up with Him into the presence of the Lord. And so the things you're about to see on planet Earth are not in your future. You're saved from the wrath to come. Good news number two, if you've not been born again, you can be tonight. Nobody's joined the church. We're not baptizing anybody. You can take your money home. We're not after it. But you can be born again tonight. You'll miss all the impending doom. There is some bad news. If you're not born again, choose not to be born again. What you're about to hear is in your future. What to expect if you miss the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and save men and women. We're expecting that. We're believing you for that. We're asking to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Thank you that we as believers will take spiritual steps tonight, and you'll get all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the next great event on God's prophetic calendar is the return of Jesus Christ in an event we call the rapture. Your Bible speaks of two comings of Christ. First was forecasted, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. 700 years later, it was fulfilled, Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Been estimated 333 Bible prophecies concerning his first coming, all fulfilled in Jesus. At least twice that many concerning his second coming, they too will be fulfilled in Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was asked by his disciples, Lord, what will be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? Do you realize the world as you know it is not going to continue? 2 Peter 3:10, for the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night and the witch. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. The earth and all that in there is shall be burned up. Here's what the Bible says. The world as you know it is going to be incinerated and recreated. Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? The first heaven and the first earth are passed away. I get a kick out of people that love to talk about green. Sometimes we call them tree huggers and frog kissers. Now, if you're of that ilk, this is going to be a tough message for you, because everything you're trying to protect, God will incinerate. The question was, what will be the sign of your coming into the world, into the age? Jesus said, watch for this. Many will come in my name, saying I'm Christ, and deceive many. Since the ascension of Jesus, no less than 1,000 individuals have proclaimed themselves Messiah. Some of you old people like I am remember Jim Jones, Guyana. 900 people died from cyanide-laced Kool-Aid. Then you may remember David Koresh. About 80 people burned alive, Waco, Texas. Fast forward into 2007, a man named Jose de Jesus in Puerto Rico said, I'm Antichrist. 2012, he said, no, I'm Jesus Christ. 2013, he died. He's neither. But they just keep coming. Jesus said, watch for that. He said, you're going to have wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. 2 years ago, 10,000 skirmishes, 18,000 died. Doesn't include some of the major wars that are going on. You've heard of Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda. You hear ISIS, and you hear about all the people that are dying. North Korea developing a nuclear warhead. One of the dumbest things we ever did in the United States was try to make a treaty with our enemy called Iran. They have called us the great Satan. They absolutely hate the ground we walk on. And they're showing off theirselves. But there's a new sheriff in town. I just thought everybody ought to know that one. And it's interesting, there's 16 nations that have nuclear capabilities, push a button, flip a switch, and people go out into eternity by the millions. Jesus said, watch for that. He said there's going to be famines. You aware that tonight there's more starvation than at any time in human history. Food is higher than it's ever been. Watch for that. He said there's going to be pestilence. The word is plagues. Many of you have heard of AIDS and SARS. Not too many folks are familiar with the bird flu. It's already taken place in the United States. Scientists say if it mutates among humans, they expect it to. In less than 2 weeks, half of our population in the United States will be decimated. Jesus said, watch for that. He said there's going to be earthquakes. They're going to multiply and be in diverse or different locations. In the 20th century, 2 million people died from earthquakes. Percentage-wise, by 2017, we're already ahead of that in the 21st century. You saw the tsunami, 250,000 people died. Haiti, 230,000 died. Truth of the matter is, if you'll study it, this world is trembling every day. You hear nothing about it till it's at least 4-point-something on the Richter scale, and then people are dying. Jesus said, watch for that. And he said, when you see all these things come to pass, when they line up like lights on a runway, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Somebody said, preacher, we must be close. We're closer than you have ever dreamed. Everything that I just gave you from Matthew 24 does not refer to the rapture. I'll explain the word in a minute. That Matthew 24 refers to a time at least 7 years after the time Jesus comes to get his children. So if you think we're close, you can subtract 7 years and realize how much closer we are. I don't set dates. I never have, never will. But I doubt seriously most of you young people will ever live to be as old as I am. I look to see the coming of Jesus Christ every day. Acts 1:11, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manners. You've seen him go into heaven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death. Here he comes. Till he come. Not if he comes, but till he comes. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him. Why? That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, when the apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he'd been in the seaport city for three Sabbath days. A number of people had been converted. Others had gotten mad. He left. They asked a question. He wrote back the first time to confirm the truth of the coming of Jesus. But his second epistle was to correct the time of the coming of Jesus. Somebody had falsified a document, put Paul's name on it, said, Christ has come, you're left behind. Paul said, that's not true. He has not come yet, but he will come again. Now, we're going to ask and answer this question tonight. What happens on planet Earth when Jesus comes in the clouds? Look at verse 1. He said, now we beseech you, brethren. You understand that brothers are people in the same family. Listen carefully. There's two families on planet Earth. The Bible teaches only two. There's the family of Satan, and there is the family of God. This may hurt before it helps. But when you and I were born, I'm not being politically correct, I'm telling you what the Bible says. When you and I were born, we were all born in the family of Satan. John 8:44, you're of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. When your pastor was born, he was a child of the devil. When your pastor's wife was born, she was a child of the devil. I was born a child of the devil, and so were you. Now, if that makes you mad, you're not going to heaven. Because everybody's going to heaven in here tonight knows we started wrong, and that's why Jesus said you have to be born again. You got to have a second birth to get out of the family of the devil and into the family of God. John 1:12, as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So this is not written to everybody. It's written to those who've been born again. We beseech you, brethren, born-again believer, by the coming, the certain return of Jesus Christ, and by our, O-U-R, gathering together into him. So here's what happens. When Jesus shows up, we go up. When he returns, we're removed. When he comes, we're gone. That's thrilling if you're born again. It's threatening if you're not. So what takes place when Jesus takes every born-again believer to heaven? The first thing you will experience, and we're preaching tonight, because we want you to go with us. We don't want you to be left behind. We want you to go with us. The first thing that happens if you're not genuinely born again is you'll experience desertion. We're leaving. You're staying. We're going where you want to go, but you're going to be left behind. Man walks out on his wife. He's a sorry husband. Woman walks out on her husband. She's a sorry wife. But when we believers leave planet Earth, we're not sorry. We've been singing for years, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. You say, aren't you a citizen of America? I'm a citizen of heaven first. And by the way, America's not even found anywhere listed in the Bible in the tribulation hour. More about that before we're done. So Jesus is coming. Now, the Bible tells us the certainty of his coming. John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You. Now, wait a minute. Who was Jesus talking to in John 14? 11 disciples. But you say he had 12. He did in John 13. Read it carefully. But in John 13, one of his disciples was unmasked. His name was Judas, which means praise, Iscariot, which means false. Flip it. False praise. God knows who's really saved and who's just a fake. God knows who is the genuine article and who's counterfeit. Jesus unmasked the disciple that was a deceiver, the apostle that was an apostate, and Judas has left, interestingly enough, Pastor, before Jesus preaches on heaven. You can go to church and be left behind. You can be Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, give $1 million a year to charities and be left behind. You've got to be born again for the king to come get you as a part of his family. You don't want to be a Judas. The Bible tells us how he's coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I love that verse. Sometimes when I fly to places, the pastor, and I understand how busy they are, the pastor will send somebody to pick me up. Now here, your pastor was so kind, he took time out of his schedule, and he picked me up. Can I announce this? When Jesus comes, he's not sending a forerunner, he's coming personally. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. There'll be a shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall ever be with the Lord. So, return, resurrection. My mother and father, my wife's mother and father have already passed from this life, but they're going to come out of the cemetery. The Bible teaches that. And then we which are alive, which could be tonight, shall be caught up. Interesting word. The word caught up is the Latin term rapturo. We get our English term rapture. If you're looking for the term rapture in the Bible, you're not going to find it listed in English. But the word caught up means to seize, claim for one's own, remove to another place. You could put it this way. We're going to get kidnapped because we're kids of the King. Amen. So when he comes in the clouds, every born-again believer who's the real article immediately goes into his presence. I don't know if you've ever seen an electromagnet, but you can take it to a junkyard. And it's interesting, things may look the same, but when you turn that electromagnet on, it only draws to itself that which is true metal. You may look like, act like, and talk like you're saved. But when Jesus comes, he knows them that are his. There'll be no mistakes. And if you're not the real deal, you will be left behind. Return, rapture, or return, resurrection, rapture, reunion. The certainty of it, it's interesting that God tells us how fast it's going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, interesting word, in a moment. The term is atoma, smallest particle of time, indivisible. In the twinkling, or the jerk of an eye, so minute you couldn't detect it. Let me give it to you so you'll understand it tonight. Everybody blink. You're too slow. And I'm not trying to be cute. The word can hardly be defined, but before you could close and reopen your eye, in a normal blink, Christ will come. Every born-again believer will be taken to the other side. Stop and think about this. What's it like to be here tonight and your wife is a born-again believer, but you're not? You thought it was kind of cute to tell her you're okay. And you'll hear men say that, I'm good. I'm okay. And then you wake up in the morning and her bedclothes are there, but she's not. And you search the entire house. Sir, you go do anything you want, you're damned. You'll never be saved. And I'll prove that to you tonight because you've heard the gospel and didn't say yes. You knowingly rejected Jesus. You can go to Christian school and be left behind. We found that today as some of the young people got saved. There are folks who will make a profession of faith to get a camp counselor off the back. They'll make a profession of faith and say what they're supposed to say because they want to marry somebody. They'll go through religious motions and never be saved. Imagine being a teenager and coming home from school and throwing your books on the table. Mom, I'm home. Mom, I'm home. No answer. Just moments before you walked in, she went up. You searched the house. Can't find her. Not funny playing with your fingernails now and messing around during the church service. You call your dad at work, but he's gone too. You call 911, good luck getting through. Millions will be missing. You will be left behind. Number one, desertion. Number two, you can expect deception. You see, Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Somebody asked me one night, why do you read so much and quote so much scripture? Because the Bible is what changes your life. Now, if you do not choose to obey and receive the Bible and the genuine Jesus Christ, you will receive a counterfeit Christ known as Antichrist. Let me pick up my reading, please, in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. The man of sin or lawlessness be revealed, the son of perdition or ruin. What does he do? He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship. Anti means opposed to. Anti means in the place of. If you will not genuinely by faith receive Jesus Christ, there'll come a day you by faith or by force will receive Antichrist. Every name about him, the 27 of them, is wicked, wrong. He's called the man of sin or lawlessness. He'll make his own laws. Son of perdition, the son of ruin. The only other person called that in the Bible is Judas Iscariot. He's Antichrist. Now, what's he going to do? Well, look down in verse 9. Even him who's coming is after the working or the energy of Satan. So this is a human being who is possessed and empowered by Satan. Keep reading. With all power, signs, and lying wonders, he will wow the world, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they would not receive the love of the truth. I'm going to say to you more than once tonight, if you will not genuinely, by faith, repent of your sins and receive Christ, you are open and will one day worship, serve, and bow before the coming Antichrist. Preacher, I don't believe it. Take your Bible, please. Turn to Revelation. I have a whole message I preach entitled Satan Superman that comes from Revelation 13. I'll give you just an excerpt tonight. It is my conviction that the Antichrist is alive tonight, ready to step into place as soon as Jesus comes to get his church. Revelation 13 and 1. I, John, stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast. Everybody look up. 27 names of the Antichrist, one is a beast. Now, if you're thinking out here in California, Godzilla coming out of the Pacific, no. No, this is a human being who will be possessed by Satan himself, whose attitude will be beast-like. He will destroy everything in his path that does not follow worship him. Rise up out of the sea. What is that? Revelation 17:15 says the waters of the sea are peoples, nations, and languages. So he's coming out of the masses of humanity, having seven heads. What's that? Revelation 17:9 says the seven heads are seven mountains. In the day in which John wrote this, the city of seven mountains or seven hills was Rome. So we believe he's going to come out of the revived Roman Empire. Keep reading. He has 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 17, the 10 horns are 10 kingdoms, the 10 crowns are 10 kings, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. They will confederate and turn over their leadership to Antichrist himself. Now also in Revelation 17, the Bible says there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is yet to come, and out of him will come the eighth. There are a couple of views of that. One, those people were five emperors who had died. You can believe that if you want to. It doesn't fit. You really can't prove that. I believe there are five empires that had fallen. When John in 94 AD, under inspiration, writes this passage, already these empires have fallen. There was Egypt, followed by Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. At the writing of this, they laid in the dust of time. In the writing of this passage, the sixth one was Rome. Now, Rome was never destroyed. Rome was divided 479 A.D. Interestingly enough, in 1957, the Roman Empire began reconstruction with six nations. Tonight, 27 nations. Brexit is making their exit, and so we're going to back it off. But there's still a number. It's interesting, in 1948 was the first private meeting of the EEC, European Economic Community. Later, formed 1957, tonight, the United States of Europe, or EEC, controls a third of the world's resources. Check your systems, you'll find that the euro actually supplants the American dollar on the international scale. 1948, first private meeting of the World Council of Churches, officially formed 1955. Why is that important? The Antichrist will not only be an economic leader, but an ecclesiastical leader. He will have a one-world church. It's moving into place as you sit in the building. 1948 was when Israel was given her sovereignty. In 1945, the United Nations was formed. 3 years later, they voted and said Israel could be a nation. She's back in her homeland. By the way, I wonder how many of you are glad tonight we have a president sitting in the White House who's actually pro-Israel again. Isn't that nice? Let me tell you, you bless Israel, God bless you. You curse Israel, you on God's hit list. And so now Israel's there. Why is that important? Well, we read back in 2 Thessalonians that the Antichrist is going to come into the temple. You said, but there is no temple in Israel. You're right. There is none. But I've already seen the blueprints for the third temple. There's the Temple Mount Faithful. They meet 6 days a week. All the vestments for all the priests have been made, including the high priest. I don't have time to tell you everything because you'd have to be here till tomorrow morning. But interestingly enough, when I went the first time, they were raising money for the 100-pound golden menorah. You can see it behind bulletproof glass tonight in Israel. First time I went, they were looking for the red heifers. They're breeding them tonight. They will take and slay them. The ashes will be placed in the water for the cleansing in the third temple. It's all moving into place, as you said, in this building. So everything's ready to go. It's like all of the stage is set, all the actors in place. All we're doing is waiting for the opening of the curtain. Now, here's the deal. If you do not, by faith, and you can tonight, you can open your heart like the front door in your house and you can receive the gift of eternal life. But if you do not, when Jesus comes and you're left behind, you're going to go under the jurisdiction, the authority, and the dictatorship of the coming Antichrist, and you'll be just as damned as he is. Some guy said to me, I don't believe that. Well, look down, please, in verse 8. The Bible says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Here's the only exception, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I'm going to take this book, as I've done one other time this week, and this is going to be known as the book of life. This is simply tonight a music book, but I'm going to put it up here on the table to remind me, to remind you in just a moment, how you can get your name in the book of life and be certain that you'll never fall in the reign of Antichrist. But Jesus said, if you're not in the book of life, you're going to bow before and worship him. One man got mad. He said, I ain't worshiping anybody. I said, fine, you'll die. He said, where'd you get that? Look down, please, at verse 15. He, this is the associate, the false prophet of the Antichrist, had power to give life unto the image of the icon of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast. You read it. There it is. Should be killed. So you will have two options during that time. You will become a part of the one world order or the new world order, or you will die. They will hunt you like an animal. Now, the Bible teaches that there's coming a one world economy. Look in verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the M-A-R-K, mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 600, 666, or 666. The word mark is used 8 times. What does it mean? It means to scratch, to etch, hang on to your hat, tattoo. Now, if you're here tonight and you have what they call tats, I'm not your enemy. But I'm telling you, you're already preconditioned for the coming Antichrist, who will have in your hand or your head either his picture, his name, or the 3-digit 666. Interesting, he has alluded to the fact that I'm older than he is many times. Has he not, church? Well, let me tell you, I am older than you are, all right? You look worse than I do, but I'm older than you are. All right, now. But the truth of the matter is, when I was a boy, nobody talked about 666. Nobody, except preachers. Now I've been in 45 different countries. I see it everywhere I go. You can even, some of you remember the wicked film called The Omen with 3 sixes in the O. You can go down and look up heavy metal groups and you can see 666. It's a prominent number. It may be a prefix or a suffix on other numbers. Tonight, everybody in this building has a Social Security number. Now, I said earlier, I don't find America in the Bible anywhere. Nowhere. Our previous president was an internationalist. We again have a nationalist for a president now. But one worldism is moving. And if you don't think so, what is the World Health Organization? What are the world banks? What is the new world order? It's talked about constantly. This coming Antichrist who will rule the world, and money rules the world, you will take in your hand or your head that number or sign, or you will not buy or sell. Every time I preach this, I have military people and I have bankers come and they tell me all kinds of things. You don't have time to hear them. I said, I won't quote anything except what I can document. Everything I'm giving you tonight, I can document. 30 years ago, the first electronic tags were fixed to the ears of cattle to permit the ranchers to track herds' reproduction and eating habits. By the 90s, millions of chips were planted in livestock and pets. 2004, October 13, the Federal Drug Administration, Food and Drug Administration, approved computer chip known as the Vera chip, V-E-R-I-C-H-I-P. Size of a grain of rice, guess where they put it? In your wrist, a part of your hand. The size of a grain of rice and your entire history is on that. Hundreds of thousands of people have already taken it internationally. By 2006, Good Morning America had two people on there. Couple implants microchips in their hands. Amal Grafston waves his hand in front of a locked door. It opens automatically. His girlfriend, Jennifer Tomlin, places her hand inches from her computer. She's instantly signed in. Vancouver, British Columbia, 30 people took it the first day it came out. Brussels, Belgium, they were taking it back 17 years ago. So they can walk into the nightclubs, hold their hand out. Their last digits of their bank account comes up. They can do anything they want all night, and the money just comes right out of their account. It's already being used. By 2009, the Barbie doll can now be bought with tattoos. And for those of you that are wondering about Obamacare, on page 1004, it talks about the RFID, which is no different than the computer chip, which had it stayed in place and continued, they were going to put the computer chip in every child born in the United States. Welcome to the New World Order. It's already here. So we're going to experience, you're going to experience desertion. We don't want you to be left behind. You're going to experience deception. We want you to know the true Christ. But then you're going to experience damnation. Take your Bible, look at Revelation chapter 16. People come to me and they say, what's all the difference with the changes in the weather and everything that's taking place? Well, let me tell you, I can't tell you about everything that's going on now, but I can tell you the change in the weather, cataclysmic and catastrophically, that's coming. Revelation 16, if you take a look, known as the tribulation, it's at least 7 years long. At the latter part of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, known as the great tribulation. What I'm about to read to you in Revelation 16, listen carefully, are not demons. These are God's angels. Listen carefully. The society and the culture has declared war on God, and God now is declaring war on them. Revelation 16, verse 2, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The Bible doesn't say it is blood. It says it's like blood. It congeals. For some of you that are having a hard time, you go home tonight, Google red tide. Back in the 1980s, before some of you were born, on the coast of Texas, it was blood red as far as the eye could see, and multiplied millions of fish died, and it took them weeks to clean it up. It was a simple warning of what God's going to do worldwide. You go to the Dead Sea, I've been there multiple times, nothing lives. Pretty soon, there'll be no life in seas at all. That kills every type of deep water fishing. Verse 4, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water. Now, notice first, seas, that's salt water. Now it's rivers and fountains, that fresh water, and they became blood. Look at it. I'm just reading your Bible. They became blood. What happened? Verse 6, they've shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. You say, preacher, this is hard to believe. This is not sci-fi. This is not some way spectacular event that somebody came up with. The Bible says all fresh water is going to turn to blood, and you're going to be so famished for something to drink, according to my Bible, you will drink human blood. Why? Verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. Look up. The sun's 93 million miles away, 10,000 degrees hot. Move it a half degree this way, we fry. Half degree that way, we freeze. What is keeping the penetrating rays from burning us now? The ozone layer. Go home and look it up. For years, they've been decrying the fact the ozone layer is dissipating. I hear people talking about, well, man, I tell you, there's going to be more skin cancer. You didn't read your Bible. The Bible doesn't say skin cancer. It says that God is going to burn people alive. man said to me, I don't believe a word you said. He told me in the lobby one time, I don't believe a word you said, but if this happens, I'll get saved. I said, no, you won't. Well, how do you know that? I said, look at the rest of the verse. Men were scorched with a great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over the plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Can I tell you something tonight? If you can sit in this room and hear me preach my heart out and have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God whisper to you, this is true, and you say no now, you not only will say no then, you will curse God then. You may sit here tonight and snicker and go, I don't believe this. In that day, you will curse the only person that can save you and hate God, and God said so. Go to verse number 18. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. How big? Such as not since man was upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. In other words, you've heard about the great one. The 1906 one in San Francisco, nothing. Everybody's talking about the big one, and they keep talking about California. I have news for you. You don't have to worry here in California. It's not going to be localized. It's going to be worldwide. You say, preacher, how do you know? Look at verse 20. Every island fled away. The mountains were not found. I preach all over the world. I go to Cuba, St. Croix, St. Thomas, and I tell them there's coming a day you're not going to have an island. God's going to sink it. I preach in the Adirondacks, the Tetons, everywhere you can go. I say, take a look at the mountains. There's coming a day they won't exist. The God who made this planet is going to destroy it. Somebody said to me one time, who does this God think he is? Let me make a public announcement. This God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mark this down and never forget it. This is not Mother Earth. It was made by Father God. It does not belong to you, and you're not going to save it because it belongs to him. God never asked for help to create it, and he won't ask for help when he destroys it. And there is coming a day that the God who made this place is going to destroy this thing, and you can't do one thing about it. But you don't have to be here. Somebody ought to say amen. I said, you don't have to be here. Because when you get saved, that means rescued and delivered. When you get born again and you belong to Jesus, when he declares war on this earth, what does America do when we declare war on another nation? We bring our ambassadors home. Can I get an amen? And before God declares war on planet earth, he's taking his children home. So you don't have to be here. But if you're here after what you heard tonight, you deserve what you get. It'll be your fault every day that you're here. So what have we learned? There'll be desertion, deception, destruction. Now, before I close my message and show you how to get your name in the book of life, I want you to run back to a place called 2 Peter, because I want to say a word tonight to those of you who know you're going to heaven. What should a message like this on the coming of Christ do for you? Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I quoted the verse. Now I'm going to read it to you. 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. 3:10, 2 Peter, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, elements shall melt with a fervent heat, earth and the works therein shall be burned up. In other words, God's going to incinerate planet earth. Verse 11, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, melted down, what manner of persons ought you to be in old holy conversation and godliness? Look right this way. If you believe what I preached and you're genuinely going to heaven, the first thing it ought to do for you is make you want to walk exultingly. 1 John 3:3, every man that hath this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. Question, if you knew at the water cooler that Jesus was going to take you right away from the guys who are telling a filthy joke, would you stay and listen? If you knew when you had an affair with another man's wife that you'd be taken out of a bed of adultery, if indeed you ever have been saved, would you do that? If you knew that when you reached in to get a Colt 45, Jesus was going to take you out from the right where you were by the refrigerator, how would you live? I'll tell you this, when you practice the return of Jesus, it'll help you live holy. So you'll walk exultingly. Look again, verse 12, looking for and hasting to the coming day of God. You not only walk exultingly, you watch expectantly. What you ought to be doing tonight, everybody in this building, if you know you're going to heaven, here's what you ought to be doing. You ought to be sitting there going, not going to be here, not going to be here. Hallelujah, not going to be here for that either. Going to be on the other side, keep preaching. Yeah, I'm going to be. That's what you ought to be doing. A lady walked up to me one night. She said, you scared me to death. I said, have you ever been born again? She said, yes. I said, why are you scared? She started crying. She said, I'm not living for Jesus. Better listen. when Jesus comes, not only are we believers going to see Him, but He's going to see us. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's the most awesome event in your future. Are you ready? Are you really looking for Him? I was preaching years ago a different message, and it was a senior saint lady sitting in the building, and every so often, she would grab the back of the pew and do this. I didn't want to look over there because I thought, well, maybe she's having a seizure. But when she left, she looked very normal. And I said, ma'am, can I speak to you a minute? Yes. I said, often tonight when I was preaching, you would kind of pull on the back of that pew and do this. I said, would you mind explaining why? She said, son, what were you preaching on? I said, I was talking about the return of Jesus. She said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. She was excited. She wasn't waiting. She was trying to get a head start. So you watch exultingly, you walk exultingly, watch expectantly. And then the Bible says in verse number 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. You'll work effectively. Let me tell you why some of you don't witness. You're afraid of them. Let me tell you what happens the day you really believe you're going and they're going to be left behind. I mean, it really hits on you that they are going to be left behind. You will never fear them. You will now fear for them. It'll change everything about your life. Answer the question. Can you prove by your lifestyle you're living in the reality of the coming of Jesus? Let's close the message. Go back to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We've seen desertion, deception, destruction. One other thing that everybody needs to understand tonight, and it's going to be hard for some of you to swallow, and that is damnation. I'm going to read this in a moment, but everybody look this way. I believe and have taught for 40 plus years. If you hear the gospel, which you're hearing tonight, and you knowingly really reject the gospel, which you have an opportunity to receive or reject, when Christ comes, you cannot, will not be saved. You'll never have another opportunity. Now, don't misquote me. I didn't say nobody's going to be saved in the tribulation. Pastor and I were talking about this before the service. I believe there'll probably be more people converted in a brief period of time than at any time in human history. I believe millions will be saved, but you won't. Let's suppose, I don't guess you'll need this since you and I'll be on the other side, so somebody else can have the building. Let's suppose Christ has come. You came tonight, but you didn't get saved. You have friends and loved ones that are gone, maybe somebody that invited you. You call their house, they never answer. You heard about a meeting here in this building. Maybe it's packed all the way outside. They're broadcasting it. A man gets up and he said, I'll tell you what I think happened. I've been reading this book. And this book called the Bible told that this was going to happen. And evidently, these people who used to go to this church, most of them are gone. But according to this, this Jesus is going to come again. And in the meantime, we can get saved. Now, it's going to be a rough ride, but we can get saved. It may be that night, three-fourths of the people that hear who've not heard the gospel get saved. But you won't. You won't. Because if you won't be saved tonight, you won't be saved then. Preacher, how do you know? Look down, please, carefully at the Bible. The Bible says in verse 9, and it speaks to us so we can hear it and understand it, even Him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, don't miss verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, here's the phrase, in them that perish. John 3:16 says, if you don't get saved, you perish, you go to hell. So who are these going to hell people? Because, verse 10, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. These people did not receive the truth they were given. They could have been saved. You can. Boy, if I could somehow peel back heaven and you could see the face of Jesus and His nail-scarred hands and He was looking at you, it'd be like, please do this. God doesn't want you damned. He wants you delivered. The person who brought you tonight is praying that you'll receive Jesus Christ. As we present the gospel, we're pleading with you to come to Jesus. But God doesn't force anybody. You get to make a choice, but every choice has a consequence. You choose not to choose, and you've chosen. So they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now read carefully what it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they all, doesn't say part of them, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. You say, preacher, that is a terrible verse. I wish it wasn't in the Bible. I wish I could tell you that. You go home, think about it. If in 2 days, while you're thinking about it, all of a sudden you see on television millions missing, you go, that guy was telling the truth. I wish I could tell you, you can get down by your sofa and trust Jesus, but you can't. Because if you'll walk out on Jesus tonight and say no to him, he'll walk away from you one day and say no to you. What is it they did not receive? They did not receive the love of the truth. Now, I've told you about God's wrath. Let me tell you about his mercy. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Put your name there. Joe, Fred, Harry, Francis, Evelyn, whatever your name is. God loves you. 6 hours one Friday when he died on the cross, every red royal drop of blood that came out of his body shouted, I love you. I don't know what kind of home you come from. I don't know if you come from an abusive husband. I don't know if your parents are mean. I don't know what, but on behalf of Jesus, I want to tell you, he loves you. And if he didn't love you, he would have never come to die. He just said, go to hell. But he demonstrated what nobody else has demonstrated. Let me show you the difference between a man's love and God's love. I have a son, 37 years of age. He is a gospel preacher. If I was standing here tonight and he were standing next to me and we were under a terrorist assault, and a terrorist put a gun to my son's head and said, you can spare his life or one of these people out here, but somebody's dying. If you're a parent, you know what I'm about to say. Sorry, you lose. I'm not giving my son for anybody. And if you're a parent, you understand that. That's not what God said. God looked down and he said, if it's you people go to hell or my son go to the cross, he's already agreed he's going. You've never been loved like that. But they didn't receive the love of the truth. Now, the truth is, Jesus would have never had to die unless we had a problem. I'm going to give in closing tonight three words that I gave in chapel. Word number one, sin. Everybody say it. Sin. Say it again. Sin. God died for us because we'd sin. It means to miss the mark. It means on your best day, on your best behavior, if you have communion 365 days out of the year and go to every church and give all of your money, you're still not as good as God. I go over many times three of the Ten Commandments. Commandment 10, thou shalt not covet. Ever want anything that wasn't yours? Commandment 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. Ever lie? Commandment 8, thou shalt not steal. You ever take anything that wasn't yours? That's not even all 10, that's 3. That makes you a thieving, lying, covetous individual. Jesus said, you break one, you're guilty of all. Galatians 3 and verse 22 says, the scriptures conclude all under sin. Stop and think. What are you as a sinner going to do to pay God for your sin? All a sinner can do is sin. I'm a Catholic, you're a Catholic sinner. I'm a Baptist, you're a Baptist sinner. I'm a good guy, you're a good guy sinner, but you're still a sinner. And Revelation 21, 27 says, there is nothing that enters heaven that will defile it. Word two, sentence. Everybody say it, sentence. The wages payment for sin is death. Death in the Bible is separation. Luke 16, 23, the rich man also died and was buried and in hell. He died, he was buried, and he went to hell. Now, how can a man die, get buried, and go to hell? Because it's not just your body. Your body will be separated from your soul, and your body will be buried, but your soul will go to hell. Now, I'm not in the business of trying to offend people, but you need to listen very carefully. There is not, nor has there ever had been, purgatory. Right. On Sunday morning, I said that. I offered $1 million. Anybody could prove it. In fact, I'm so sure there's no purgatory, I offer the Pope $1 million to find it. Did you know the Catholic Church never taught purgatory till the 1100s? What did they teach before that? There is no purgatory. There's a heaven, that's where God wants you. There's a hell, that's where God does not want you. But if sin keeps you out of heaven, the only alternative, friend, is hell. And you don't want to go there, and God doesn't want you to go there. Word three, sacrifice. Let's say the word, sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, that's Jesus. Do you have a problem believing Jesus is sinless? Then you don't have a Savior. Because if Jesus was a sinner, he couldn't save himself. Sinless Jesus, sinful us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here's the issue for heaven, righteousness, goodness. Either you've got to get it through what you do for him, or you've got to receive it through what he does for you. Somebody stand up and tell me, what are you going to do as a sinner that's going to make you perfect and as good as God? Think about it. The answer is very simple, nothing. That's the whole reason Jesus came. He said, you can't, but I can. With you it's impossible, with me it's possible. That's the reason he was born of a virgin. Well, I was taught Mary was immaculate. Not taught in the Bible. Jesus was conceived immaculately. Mary was born a sinner. She was, sure. I pray through Mary. Where do you get it anywhere in the Bible? Nowhere are you taught to pray to Mary. Mary went to heaven, and I'll tell you why. It wasn't because she birthed her son. It's because she believed in her son. That's the only way anybody gets to heaven. It's through Jesus. So when you come to Jesus and you believe that he's the only God and that he died for you and was buried for you and raised again for you and loves you, what you have done is this. It's called repent. It means change your mind. Baby baptism does not work. No baby in the Bible ever got baptized to go to heaven. Communion does not work. Confirmation does not work. Your work does not work. Change your mind and believe. Put all of your confidence in Jesus Christ. Today in chapel, I said to the young people, how many of you have ever ridden on an elevator? Let me ask you, how many of you have ever ridden an elevator? Okay. Maybe I'm real simplistic, but when I ride an elevator, I always put all of me on all of it. Does that make sense tonight? I never have put one foot on the elevator and one foot on the first floor because when the door shuts, there's a major problem. But there are people who try to come to God like that. Jesus, I believe in you and my baby baptism. I believe in you and I'm doing my best. I believe in you and I take communion. I believe in you and I go to church. I believe in you. That's not how you get saved. Faith means you take all of you and you place all of you on all of him. You don't cut the back out of an elevator. You don't pull yourself up by the pulleys. You get on there and you trust the elevator to take you to the floor, and that's exactly how you get saved. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's Christ alone. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what ends up happening when you get born again is that God places your name in a book known as the Book of Life. I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina on June the 2nd, 1900, and it's none of your business. And I can prove that because I have a birth certificate. When I got my first passport, I went down and I said, I'd like to get a passport. Where's your birth certificate? And I said, innocently, I'm here. And they said, we can see that. But if you don't have a passport, you're not, if you don't have a birth certificate, you're not getting a passport. I said, you guys are kidding me. No, you either go get a birth certificate and prove you were born, or you don't get out of the United States. I have news for you. If you don't have a registration of your birth written by Almighty God, you're not getting out of here. You're going to go to hell. Now, here's the good news. Here's how simple it is. You tonight can say, I'm a sinner. You are the only Savior. I have nothing to give you but my sin. I receive from you righteousness, eternal life. Come in and live my life. God said, done deal. Just in case anybody questions, I'll write it down. He knows them that are his. It's not for him. Now, the Bible says, whoever's not found written in the book of life, cast in the lake of fire. What if Jesus came and closed the service tonight and I didn't? What if he started walking down the aisle and he had the book of life and he walked up to you and said, if you belong to me, find your name. You can't say, you can't argue with Jesus. You can't say, but I was baptized. You can't say anything. Find your name, he said. He comes to you, find your name. You get mad at me for preaching what I want, but the Bible is plain. If your name is not in the book of life, you are left behind and you are cast in the lake of fire. Why make it harder than God made it? Simply say no to sin, yes to Jesus. Don't bring him anything but your sin and receive what he has done for you, and you can go home tonight and put your head on the pillow, and for the first time in your life, you can be positive you're going to heaven. I'm done with this. You've been patient to listen to me. I was preaching in a meeting like this, and a senior citizen lady walked up to me. She said, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. You can help people like that. And I said, ma'am, let me get another lady to pray with you. Well, it was probably 15 minutes later, I walked by, and that older lady looked at me, and she said, Dr. Farrell, come over here. I'm confused. I said, what are you confused about? She said, well, she keeps telling me I need Jesus, but Jesus has always been with me. You ever heard anybody say that? So I looked down at her, and I said, ma'am, if what you mean is that Jesus is around you, that's true, because he's everywhere. It's a technical term called omnipresent. He is everywhere. That's true. But that's not how you get saved. She said, it's not. I said, no, ma'am. She said, why to get saved? I said, it's not Christ around you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Boy, she looked straight up at me, and she said, oh, my. She said, all these years he's been around me, but he's not. I said, no, ma'am. She didn't wait on me. I wish I had a video. She bowed her head. Here's what she said. Dear Jesus, you've been around me long enough. Now, please come and live in my life, and I receive you. I'm just standing there, and she looked up. She got a tear coming down her cheek, and she said, you know what? I said, what? She said, it works. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm here to tell you, Jesus still works. And he wants to save you, and he wants to put your name in the book of life. Can you prove from this book that your name is the book of life? You said, no, or I don't know. Tonight is your night in your seat to receive Jesus Christ, and I'll help you do that. Don't be left behind. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity I've had to preach, speak to every heart and every life. We're bowed before the Lord. Be very careful how you answer the question. Very careful. You see, friend, you could raise your hand and lie to God. It will not affect me, but it could damn you. So be careful. How many of you tonight could say and prove from your Bible, I'm sure my name is in the book of life. I can prove that by my Bible. I'm going to ask it again. Think it through. I've been born again, just like you preached. I'm certain my name is in the book of life. I can prove that by my Bible. Friend, if you don't know that, we bowed so that nobody will be ashamed or embarrassed. Just be honest. How many of you could say and then prove from your Bible, I've been born again just like you preached. My name is in the book of life. I can prove that from my Bible. Only if you're certain of that, can prove it from your Bible, would you raise your hand as a testimony. Don't raise it unless you're sure. Thank you. Take it down. If you did not raise your hand, let me commend you on your honesty. Let me tell you that God loves you just like you are. But he loves you too much to let you stay like you are. Now, you've already taken step one. You know you need Jesus. Will you take step two? Will you ask him to come and live in your life? Will you receive him? Preacher, I'd like to do that. I'd like to know I'm going to heaven. All right, listen. In a moment, I'm going to form a very simple prayer. The word pray means to ask. So it means if you pray, you will be asking Jesus to save you tonight. I'll pray a phrase and wait. You pray it silently to Jesus. I'll pray the next phrase. You pray it from your heart silently to Jesus. What you're doing is saying, Jesus, I am a sinner. You're the only Savior. Come and live in my life. He's going to hear you, forgive you, take away your sin tonight. Now, if you could not raise your hand, you do not have a Bible assurance that you're going to heaven. Pray after me silently from your heart sincerely and pray this to Jesus, and he's going to save you right now. Here's the prayer. You pray it from your heart silently. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a hell-deserving sinner. I cannot take away my own sin. Tonight, February 8, 2017, I repent of my sin. I receive you, Jesus, as the only God. Thank you for putting my name in the book of life. Help me never to be ashamed of you. Now we're bowed before the Lord. Did you pray that? Don't trust the prayer now. Prayer didn't save you. Jesus did. But if you prayed, God heard, He forgave, He came in your life, and He said, if you believe on me, you will not be ashamed. A moment ago, you couldn't raise your hand. You were an honest person. But now you can. A moment ago, you didn't know you were going to heaven, but according to the Bible, now you do. When you raise your hand and I see it in a moment, I will not name you, but I will say thank you. And I'll know tonight that we're going to go to the same heaven together, that you are a part of God's family. I'll do anything and everything I can to help you. We're bowed before the Lord. If you prayed with me tonight, that simple prayer, ask God to come in your life. If you prayed with me tonight from your heart to God's heart and ask Him to come live in your life, right now, please raise your hand with mine. Just hold them straight up and I'll see them. Just straight up and I'll see them. That's good. Just straight up and I'll see them. I prayed that and I'm glad that I did. That's good. Amen. It's wonderful. Amen. Thank you. You may take your hands down. If you've raised your hand, please do not raise it again. But if you prayed with me and did not raise your hand, would you raise it right now? Anybody else along with these, I'll see it and I'll say thank you and pray for you. Anybody else? Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the Bible. Thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ.